Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 6. Tathāgata Surya, Nishāshanko Nibhāvaka, Yajñātvana Nivartante, Tad-dhamma paramam bhama. Basayate illuminates Sura the sun. Na nor Shashanka the moon. Nor na nor Pavaka fire electricity. Yet where? Yadva going. Na never. Yuvartante they come back. Tad-dhamma that abode. Paramam supreme. Mama my. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. That supreme abode of mind is not illuminated by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. Purport. The spiritual world, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, which is known as Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, is described here. In the spiritual world, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, fire, electricity, because all the planets are self-luminous. We have only one planet in this universe, the sun, which is self-luminous. But all the planets in the spiritual sky are self-luminous. The shining effulgence of all these those planets, called Vaikuntha Lokas, constitutes the shining sky known as the Brahma Jyoti. Actually, the effulgence is emanating from the planet of Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan. Part of that shining effulgence is covered by the Mahatattva, the material world. Other than this, the major portion of that shining sky is full of spiritual planets, which are called Vaikunthas, chief of which is Goloka Vrindavan. As long as the living entity is in this dark material world, he is in conditional life. But as soon as he reaches the spiritual sky, by cutting through the false, perverted tree of this material world, he becomes liberated. Then there is no chance of his coming back here. In his conditional life, the living entity considers himself to be the lord of this material world. But in his liberated state, he enters into the spiritual kingdom and becomes an associate of the Supreme Lord, where he enjoys eternal bliss, eternal life, and full knowledge. One should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. For one who is too much attached to this material world, it is very difficult to cut that attachment. But if he takes the Krishna consciousness, there is a chance of gradually becoming detached. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who are in Krishna consciousness. One should search out a society dedicated to Krishna consciousness and learn how to discharge devotional service. In this way, you can cut off its attachment to the material world. One cannot become detached from the attraction of the material world simply by dressing himself in saffron cloth. He must become attached to the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, one should take it very seriously that devotional service is described in the 12th chapter is the only way to get out of this false representation of the real tree. Chapter 14, the contamination of all kinds of processes by material nature is described. Only devotional service is described as purely transcendental. The words paramam, mama, are very important here. Actually, every nook and corner is the property of the Supreme Lord, but the spiritual world is paramam, full of six opulences. The Katha Upanishad also confirms that in the spiritual world, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, or stars. Tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. For the whole spiritual sky is illuminated by the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. That supreme abode can be achieved only by surrender and by no other means. Tatvasete suryo shashankan pavaka agyatmana nivartante tadama parma mama. That supreme abode divine is not illuminated by the sun or moon or by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this mature world. This verse, Krishna is glorifying the spiritual world. Now, the idea of there being a spiritual world, many cultures have that idea, but they have a slightly different idea about what the spiritual world is. Some of them, they think that when you go to this heaven, you're on a cloud. It's like a cloud. It's very dusty. And the only thing they do is they give you a little harp or a little tiny horn to play. And eternally you're just playing the harp and the horn going, God is great, God is great, God is great. And if you're not very good, then you go before God who's sitting on a throne. He has no face. And he picks up the little tiny soul and says, sorry. The scoreboard says... And so he takes the little soul and just throws him into the burning fire. Poof. And that's it. All the angels, they crowd around and they say, can you throw another one in? That was pretty good. Fireworks. Most exciting thing that's happened here in a while. So that kind of place to go to doesn't seem so exciting. People would rather burn in hell where there's some rock music than live, you know, chanting, God is great, God is great, falling asleep. Wake up! Oh. You want to go to hell? Sure, that's... Seems like a better place than this. Or they imagine that you at the end of this life you merge into the nothingness and you disappear and that's it. Hopefully you take a good book to read with you. You're going to be in the nothingness for a long time. So it's speculation that you just disappear. Or some of them say, when you die, they bury you. The ants and the moths, they eat your body. And all that's left is bones. At a certain time, the Lord will come, and all the bones will rise. Rise from the dead. In America, they call it Halloween. And all the bones are dancing. So people are thinking so many different speculations. And if we tell them that there's an abode and everyone's eternal there and that everything is effulgent, it's not so different. Just like they had this movie, which I'm sure no one here saw, but anyhow, it's called Avatar. You don't have to raise your hand if I ask you if you saw it. But in that movie called Avatar, everything was effulgent. I think everything was effulgent. Wasn't everything, the plants were effulgent? Were the people effulgent also? But the plants and everything were effulgent, weren't they? And people, the comments that I saw were that people were saying, you know, they became depressed that there was not such a place like that they could go to. But little did they know they shouldn't be depressed because there is a place like that they can go to. It's called Goloka Vrindavan. And if you can't quite get there, at least you can go to Vaikuntha. And everything is illuminated. And if you go there, you don't have to pay any money for electricity. Everything is self-effulgent. There's a, and every, it says, Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Parama Purusho Dhruva Bhumis Chintamani Ganamayitamayam Amritam. That there Krishna has a flute and is his favorite companion, and the water is just like nectar. The land is made of touchstone, and the air that you breathe is full of, is pleasurable. Just breathing air, the air is so pure that you become blissful just by drinking, breathing the air. Could you imagine that? Getting high off the air. And when you drink the water, you become ecstatic. You get addicted to drinking the water. Where's the water? I need some more water. It's so good. Now, of course, we don't have direct experience, probably speaking, of the spiritual world. And therefore, we always have to start by going backwards or forwards, depending where you are. The fact that we have to meditate upon the fact that we're not this body. And therefore, we know absolutely nothing about what reality is. Because we don't even know who we are. Now, if you don't know who you are, what do you know? If you say, well, I got 5 PhD degrees, and you ask, really, you must be quite learned. But who are you? And you go, I don't know. So the most important thing, who you are, you don't know. But you think you know everything else. And not only we don't know who we are, we think ourselves to be something we're not. So that shows we're not only fools, but we're super fools. We're not only in ignorance, but we're deluded. It's one thing to be in avidya, but to be worse than that is to actually believe something that's unreal. If you're in avidya, if you're in ignorance, you don't know what's going on. At least you can think, I don't know what's going on. But if you actually think you know what's going on, when what you're thinking is not what's going on, then you're in a lot more trouble than if you were just in ignorance. Ignorance, if you're in ignorance, then you can get out of ignorance just by hearing the truth. But if you're actually fixed in a false conception that you don't want to give up, then there's no way you can get out of ignorance, because you're more deeply absorbed in illusion than just plain ignorance. So knowing that, one who's a little humble, they can understand, we don't really know what's going on. All we know is what's not going on. What the modes of material nature are telling us is going on. And at least when we read Bhagavad Gita, we can understand this, what kind of illusion we're under. We may not know who we are, what's actually going on, but at least we can find out, am I in ignorance? And that's some knowledge. At least that's some progress. If we think, well, I'm in ignorance, well, then at least we know that we're an illusion. And we become a little humble. Then there's some possibility of making some advancement. Or I'm in passion. Or I'm in goodness. Now, the worst thing is to think, well, I'm in passion, or I'm in ignorance, but I like being in ignorance. I like being in passion. I like being in goodness. Well, that's the material world. That's why we're here. So therefore, there's some advertisement in Bhagavad Gita and other literature to tell us that there's something better than ignorance, passion, and goodness. And here it's being described. And luckily, there's a process, as explained here, by which we can experience it even in this lifetime, even in our daily lives. There is no impediment to actually experiencing what the spiritual world is like. It's just a question of whether we want to experience what the spiritual world is like. Just like every day, we get up and we want to experience different things. So, Krishna gives us the ability for now to go from one place to another and experience them. So we can also experience Krishna consciousness if we take to the process, as much as we take to the process sincerely and seriously and consistently, to that extent Krishna allows us to to get an experience what spiritual means. Not just theoretically, but experience. And if we get that experience, then we can understand if you multiply that experience exponentially or unlimitedly, then we get a little idea of what the spiritual world is like. Now, of course, Maya will say so many things to delude us. Our main thing is that, why do you want to go to the spiritual world? There's so many good things to do here. You know, so many people will be disappointed if you leave. Why don't you stay here and help society? Save the whales or save the penguins. Do something important. Or you don't deserve to go to the spiritual world. You're a bad person. You've done so many bad things. You should stay here and suffer. Make Maya happy. So the mind will tell us so many different things. And if we're not serious, we'll accept whatever the mind's telling us. Hey, yes, yes, you're right, Maya. I'm not a good person. I shouldn't go to the spiritual world. Or if I went there and all I did was enjoy all the time, then what happens if I wanted to suffer? What would happen? Maybe I get bored of enjoying all the time and think, wow, I'm missing that good suffering back there. I'm trying to break my spiritual arm, but it won't break. So Maya will try and trick us. Yoga is chalati manasa. Maya will always try and trick us by so many different allurements. At the same time, the very logical understanding how we're eternal, how this universe is governed by intelligence coming from a supreme person. So many things that should give us faith that there is something beyond what we're experiencing presently, and that by the process of devotional service, we can begin to experience something beyond what we're presently experiencing. It may not come all at once, but even if we get a little taste, one drop, at least there's hope. What to speak of people, well, we have to consider that most people have not a drop of hope. And if they have hope, they have hope they can go to the heaven. What they're going to do there, they have no idea. They just hope it's not like it's what the people describe it to be. Or they think, well, I'm suffering here, but at least when I merge in nothingness, I won't have to pay my bills there. Unless the tax collector comes and merges in nothing looking for me there. So what kind of future do people have to look forward to? Previously, people would look forward to the next movie, the next illusion they could get into, that this year, the Slovenian football team will win, and their lives will become perfect. Then for a whole year, they'll be in bliss. Every time they get depressed, they'll just look at the newspaper. Our team won. Oh! Things are not so bad. So except for looking forward to going to the spiritual world, everything is completely insignificant. But we don't have faith, and therefore we have to develop faith. And we have to develop the eligibility to go there, which goes together, by practice. Now we may say, well, you know, I'm so low, I'm so fallen, it's going to take me a long time before I get there. Well, if you don't take the prep, if you want to go from here to Zagreb by foot, you have to take it one step at a time. And if you decide to go, you don't want to go, you know, it's so far away, I don't know how I can get there. We'll try one foot at a time. You might get there eventually. So wherever we're at, because we're eternal, we should be patient, because we have eternity to get there. Because we shouldn't take eternity to get there. That would be foolish. Because if we wait too long, at the end of Kali Yuga, we'll say, well, I'm just being patient, you know, gradually getting there. What are all these little people around here? They're only a foot high. Why are they looking at me like that? Don't they know I'm a devotee? And they go, yes, we want some prasadam. So we should be patient, but not that patient. Or else, in the future, the Sunday feast will be part of the menu. This week we're having prasadam. We're offering pure devotees. Bring your family. So we don't believe what Krishna says about the spiritual world. We don't believe we're eternal. Then we'll have to believe if we stay around here to the end of Kali Yuga. We can't say, well, you guys couldn't exist because the book wasn't right. So the conclusion is we should chant Hare Krishna and be happy. At least try and make some progress. And not to be discouraged by the fact we're not in the spiritual world yet. But we can get there if we just try a little bit at a time. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Yes, we have one question from the internet. Hare Krishna, my humble obeisances. Can it be dangerous for our spiritual practice if our wish to come to spiritual world is stronger than wish to serve Krishna?
Well, what are you going to do in the spiritual world? Set up a milk factory? Sell ice cream? What can you do in this? The only thing that's in the spiritual world is serving Krishna. You can't go there. It's not that you wind up in the spiritual world and everyone asks, well, why don't you do something here? Oh, I just came for a visit. Just wanted to see what it was like. Luckily I have a return ticket. Now everyone in the spiritual world, they're all, at every moment, they're very anxious to serve Krishna. That's the spiritual world. You can't get to the spiritual world unless you develop a desire to serve Krishna. And Krishna, as we can see, his desire is to serve all living entities. That's why he's fulfilling our desires, however foolish they may be. He doesn't interfere with our desire. So Krishna's relationship is there. It's not that we don't have a relation with Krishna. That's eternal. We eternally have a relation with Krishna. Just the question, what kind of relationship with Krishna we want? When we don't want to serve Krishna directly, then we're in the material world. Then we're serving him here. So if we don't want to serve Krishna, we don't have such a strong desire to serve Krishna, there's no possibility of going to the spiritual world. Unless you're like Durvasa Muni, and you get near to go to the spiritual world where the Sudarshan Chakra is chasing after you to burn you to bits, to ashes. And you take shelter of Lord Narayan, he says, sorry, no way. That kind of entering into the spiritual world is not what's required. Besides that, he never really made it to the spiritual world. Anything else? Yes.
So did Durvasa Muni had also strong desire to serve Krishna if he was able to come to Vaikuntha?
Well, he never came to Vaikuntha. He came to Svetadvipa in this material world. He didn't go to Vaikuntha. He's not eligible to go to Vaikuntha, but he came, he visited Krishna in Svetadvipa and went to his abode there asking for help. But he only went, he was allowed to go there because he had a strong desire. so the citizen chakra wouldn't burn into ashes. That was his desire. And he took shelter first of Brahma, Shiva, all the demigods. They couldn't help him. So then he thought, let me go and see Vishnu. So that kind of desire is, just like Kamsa also saw Krishna. But it didn't, you know, it got him liberation, but it didn't get him actually into the spiritual world. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.